Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you were called. So we saw that if he says we can walk worthy of it, we should walk worthy of it. We can know that we can walk unworthy of it. We don't want to miss what God has called us and chosen us for. Amen? Amen. You're not going to do anything that God hasn't called you to do, but we can miss it. We don't want to miss it. And with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring, which means it's an effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. And the reason it's an effort is because we have an adversary, the devil, who is going about as a roaring lion, trying to do things, trying to stir up, just like the agitators are stirring up strife in the earth today, and behind the agitators is the devil. Amen? He does not want peace. He wants war. He wants confusion. Why? Because the gospel cannot be preached in that time. Things are hindered in that time. World War II, the missionaries had to come off of the field, especially in North Africa, because of the war that was there. And a lot of them went to England, and there they were praying, but they couldn't be there. And that's why we're to pray for our leaders. We might lead peaceable lives, and the Word of God would have free course. It's the Word that works, and it's that gospel that needs to be preached into all the world. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we live in part of the world. You don't have to go anywhere. You're in the world. We're in the world. Okay, so we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God's our hope. God is the hope that we have in fulfilling the call and the purpose that he has called us to. One God, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, given a gift, a grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Their gifts, charisma, their gifts, there's things that are given to us, not things that we earn. They're things that are given to us. And there's things, but we by faith operate these things. We have a choice. Always God gives us the choice. And we have to make an effort. We have to make the choice. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, Satan, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended, first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we are perfected. We are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But the work, the working out of it in our lives is the perfection that he's talking about. And this is why we need prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And so we, as we hear, as we listen, as we read books and things that, these are things that God can use to speak to us, but it's his Spirit that is teaching us. It is to be his Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. It's very important. We saw in Corinthians that, you know, some said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. Some have said they were, even of those that said they were of Jesus Christ. But what it was doing, they were dividing the body. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The enemy was getting in there and dividing them. There was not unity. And God wanted unity. Amen? We have one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one Father. God is Father of all. Okay. Now, so we henceforth, now, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge, knowing the Son of God, the knowledge, knowing Jesus Christ, not just knowing about him, but having a relationship with him. in knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because we are all members one of another. Amen? We're all members one of another. When one member hurts, we all hurt. When one member rejoices, we're all to rejoice. Because we're a part one of another. Sometimes we can't see that way. We see it, I'm doing good or I'm not doing good. But it is more than that. You are not an island unto yourself. We are all connected one with the other. And so when we pray one for another, or we confess our needs one to another in prayer, this is what God wants us to do, so that we can pray one for another and that He can heal us. Now, so we come, God, this is what we're pressing towards, this unity. The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, behind it is Satan. Satan's always behind deception. And the reason he wants to deceive, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen?
Yeah.
So there's another thing. If he can keep me off, I'm this way, and I'm this way, and I'm this way. You know, that's what the enemy wants. If you get planted somewhere, at least somebody can show you if you're wrong. But if you're back and forth, you can't, there's nothing there. You're a double-minded man. You're unstable in all your ways. God wants us to be set, that we hence will be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And we're to stand on that truth, because there's everything in this world, the evil part of the world, is going to come and try and distort the truth. But it's the truth that makes me free. Now, and when we know that truth, we can speak the truth in love. May grow up into Him, into Jesus Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, and we all get our source, from the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Fitly joined together and compacted, made to fit together snugly, by that which every joint supplieth. Now, every joint is to supply, but we're to supply in the Spirit, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working in the measure of every part is the Spirit of God that's inside of us. It's the Spirit of God that's inside of you. In Romans 8 it says, if by the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. It isn't just that we get rid of the deeds of the flesh. It's that you do it through the Spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit is spirit. So we're not just after a set of a conduct of rules, a set of rules or a conduct. This is the conduct. No, God's looking at the heart. What comes from the Spirit is spirit. What comes from the flesh is flesh. It's always flesh. It isn't any good. But see, our natural mind can't think that. This is good, because this is evil. But the flesh profiteth nothing, Jesus said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If someone can speak well, he can convince people and he can persuade people by his speech. That's not what Paul said. That's not what Paul wanted to do. I didn't come to you in the excellency of words and the wisdom of man, but in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God, that He might be glorified and that your faith might be in Him and not in man. Amen? Now, Paul had a lot of wisdom. He went to school a long time. He knew a lot of stuff. And it shows a little bit when he was brought before the Sanhedrin. And he recognized that there were Pharisees and Sadducees there. And he figured he had this game plan. He figured, I know what I'll do. Well, I'm here today because about the doctrine of resurrection, of one Jesus that was raised from the dead. And as soon as he brought up the resurrection, he knew what would happen. Because the Sadducees and the Pharisees were always fighting with one another. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angel. Can't think, how could they be Jews and not believe that? But that's what they were. How could they be in the Sanhedrin? But the Pharisees did. And so it caused a fight. And so afterwards, when he was called before the king, you know, he said, the only thing I have to say I'm sorry for is that these words that I mentioned in the Sanhedrin. He knew what he was doing. He was using the wisdom of man. And it worked. It worked. They had to get him out of there because they're going to pull him apart. And he started this fight in there. That wasn't God's will. It was his will. But you know, God said to Paul, don't be afraid, because you're going to be a witness unto me in the kings and to Caesar. Paul didn't have to do anything. God arranged the whole thing. Didn't have to pay for his journey. Didn't have to get an appointment, make an appointment. God arranged all that. I don't know if I'd do it that way. Well, God will do any way he wants to do it. But you got to see he's going to do it. Amen? He's going to do it. That's my hope. That's my source. Like Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, I'm not that I'm sufficient of myself to think anything of myself, but my sufficiency is of God. Amen? And we don't bring the administration of death. We bring the administration of the Spirit. For it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive. It's the Spirit that's teaching you. It's the Spirit that's empowering you. It's the Spirit that does the works in you. Amen? It's the Spirit that gives you the words to speak. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit. That's what he told us, to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, now, 16, we have read, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted, brought together. As individuals, we like to stay a little bit loose. You know, give me my room. But God's going to compact us. He's bringing us in closer and closer together. That which every joint supplieth. Why? Because we need the gift that is in each one of us. We need the gift operating in each one of us. We need a gift of discernment. We need a gift of miracles. We need a gift of healings. We need a gift of faith. We need these gifts. They're gifts. And that's why you can say to somebody, when you have a gift, and God says, go touch that person, you can touch that person, and they're healed. I've heard evangelists say, you know, when they're preaching, and they said, now look, when we call for you to come up to prayer, come up to pray. Don't come up to me afterwards and want me to pray for you. Because when the Spirit begins to move, that's the time to move. Because it isn't the evangelist. It's the power that's in the evangelist. And he's only taking orders. And he says, when the Spirit begins to move, and so when they go down the prayer line, they go like this, bam, 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 bam. You don't have to recite half of the Bible to get them healed. What do they get? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And he's in you. He's in me. Satan knows what's going on. God knows what's going on. It's me. I need to get in with what's going on. Right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, I got to get to this place. I've got to decide. I want to be there. I want to be. I remember when I first started to play softball in the church league. And they put me out in left field. It was right field. Wherever the balls didn't go, they put me out there. And every once in a while, they'd say, hey, Reem, you wait back here. You know, because I was daydreaming, you know. I was saving Lois Lane, you know. I was Superman or something like that. I was out. We've got to be awake. Amen? Spiritually, you've got to be awake. Because if I'm not awake, I'm going to miss what God wants to do with me and through me. Amen? Satan, he knows what he's doing. And so, some of the places I go, I can't remember, but it was just recently, we went somewhere, and, you know, I just didn't think anything about it, and all of a sudden, this opportunity appeared. And I'm just, you know, it's like, wow. But I just thought, you know, nothing was going to happen. When I come to church, I come prepared. Amen? Hint. I come prepared. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you. Amen? Don't wait till you get here. Come prepared. But that's church. But I need to be prepared in season and out of season. Even when I'm doing something else. And I've had God, I gave testimony before. I can remember places where I've been working and I'm interested in getting a job done. And the people come to me and they keep bugging me about this. And finally it gets to me, hey, maybe God wants me to pray for that. And then, God's working with us. He's not against us. He meets us where we're at, but he expects us to grow. Amen? So, the according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As this increases, as we increase, as we become more and more in tune with the Spirit of God, we're going to build up and strengthen one another more and more and more in the Spirit. So when you go out there, you're going to be what we would call loaded. you're cocked. You're ready to go. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. These that are not saved, they're walking in the vanity of their mind. They're only thinking about the situations, the problems, the things that are happening in their lives. Having the understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you and I have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You were born again, all things became new, but the old man is still there. And we can give him place by thinking on certain things. And I don't even just, and we know what sinful things are, but there are things that just the enemy wants us to think about, to take up time, to take up room, to take up our attention, that are not really important. There's things you got to think about. God knows that. But I mean, there's other things that we don't have to think about. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Mind. So we're reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and casting down every thought and imagination, every reason that exalts itself against the knowledge that God has given us. Satan is going to talk to you. He's going to talk to me. And if I receive that, it'll get inside there. And then a seed is sown. And then it's got to be dealt with because it's going to continue to grow in you and it's going to cause you problems. It's going to cause me problems. So I need to be sober. I need to be vigilant. Why? Because the enemy's always going to be trying to talk to me. He's trying to plant seeds of doubt. He knows what's coming. Some things he knows. He doesn't know everything, but he knows some things. That you put on the new man. Now you be renewed in the spirit of mind that you put on the new man. You have a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. Remember, he's speaking to Christians. Putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Be ye angry and sin not. If you get angry, don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And this is what it is. When we feed on this, when we start to think about it, when we start to meditate on this anger and let it in, we give him place to the devil. And he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Once you've opened the castle doors and let him in there, he's inside. Now you got to get him out of there. But this is a warning to these Christians. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, this is kind of really basic stuff, right? I mean, what Christian is going around stealing stuff? And yet, but yet, there are some things we need to see here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We have to watch what we say about one another. We have to watch we don't go over this line. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, because when you're doing that, 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If I grieve the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have a problem doing what God wants me to do and hearing what God wants me to hear. Amen? So, watch what you're doing. Watch, because you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. But instead, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, why would a Christian have to forgive another Christian? No Christian would ever offend another Christian. Do you live in the real world or what? No, we need it. Offenses will come. And this is why he says, this is why it's in there. This is a trick of the devil. You've offended people, I've offended people. And some doesn't mean sometimes you didn't want to do that. It's just something that happens. But we have to have forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So when you're doing what you're doing, all of a sudden a thought comes to you about what somebody said or somebody did to you, and this feeling comes, and you feel rejection, or you feel this. It's a devil trying to plant a seed. And you and I got to cut it off. No, I'm casting down that thought and imagination. I am not receiving that devil. He's my brother. I forgive him. I don't know if he meant it or not. I don't know if she meant it or not, but I forgive him. I'm not biting on it. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and hath given himself for us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. I think I better read this in the Amplified. It brings it out a little bit further. I'm not preaching this because I'm thinking you guys are doing any of this stuff. I'm doing it because I feel God wants me to preach it. And if it fits me, it fits me. If it fits you, it fits you. Amen? Yeah. 5. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him. Follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, as a slain offering, a sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. But immorality, sexual vice, and in all impurity, of lustful, rich, wasteful living, or greediness, must not even be named among you as is fitting and proper among saints, God's consecrated people. Let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, nor foolish or sinful, silly and corrupt talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting or becoming, but instead voice your thankfulness to God. For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life, or one who is covetous, who has lustful desire for the property of others, and is greedy for gain, for he in effect is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Whoa. There's a lot of people coveting what other people have today, isn't there? And there's a lot of sexual sins going around. Things are coming out of the closet. Things are being brought out and accepted more and more by the world. Amen? But they're not being accepted by God. Right? Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For through these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience. So do not associate or be sharers with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light. Now you are light. Say this with me. I am light. Okay, getting it. I am light. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of light, or the spirit, consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Yet let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Take no part and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. For it is a shame even to speak of or mention the things that such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. Where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Therefore he says, Awake, O thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine. Make the day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully, then, how you walk. Live purposely and work worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise and sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague or thoughtless or foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but ever be filled, stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And at all times and for everything, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Praise God. I'm going to stop there so all the wives can breathe easy. We are to be subject one to another. At all times and for everything, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject one to another out of reverence for Christ the Messiah. You know, we know the scripture that says, you know, in the last days men's hearts shall fail them for fear, looking upon the things that are coming upon the earth. Well, what more can happen, right? It's going to happen. More things are going to... That, I also looked on the computer, and China and Japan are fighting over this. They're squabbling about these islands. Just a bunch of rocks out there in the ocean. But the Chinese people raided or came against the Japanese consulate. So, I mean, it's like, oh, they're doing it. Let's do it, too. So, this is the enemy, to try to stir things up. Amen? And so we're to pray against that, and we're to pray God's will be done. His kingdom come, and His will be done. Because God's been working in these Muslim nations. God's been saving people. God can do that. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. He can even work here in the United States where nobody wants to hear it. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I'm not prophesying, but maybe it's going to take a little heat to get things boiling. But we want a revival. Amen?
Amen?
And so we need to be you know, this is what we need to see. And say, Lord, help us to fit into this. Father, we just come to you this morning, Father. And Father, we want to be what you've called and chosen us to be. We want to fulfill the call and the purpose wherewith you have called each one of us. Father, we don't want to miss it. We're only going to be here for a short period of time compared to the age of this world, Lord. We're going to be here for a short period of time. But God, we want to fulfill the call and the purpose. You are a great God. There's nothing that's too hard for you. We read the stories in the Old Testament, the things that you've done for different people, Lord. For Joseph and Samuel, David, and God, even in Job's life, turning his captivity around. And all these things that we read, Lord, they're your works. There's nothing that's too hard for you, Lord. And kingdoms were changed by people who stood up. Father, we want to be what you've called and chosen us to be. Each one of us, God, doing what you've called us to do and being the witness that you want us to be. We are to be lights in the darkness. There's a lot of darkness out there. But God, we know there's other lights too. But God, we want to be the light you've called and chosen us to be. We want to be ready. And we want you to be able to use us and to speak through us. Father, to be witnesses unto you. And Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to continue working us. You know, we know you're working us. We know you're doing things. But God, we want to be pressing towards this mark. We want to be awake spiritually. We just don't want to be awake on a meeting night or a Sunday, God. We want to be awake all the time. Now, we can't trust ourselves. I can't trust myself. But God, I'm trusting in you and putting my faith in you, and I'm asking you, God, to do it for us in each one of our lives, Father. But I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Somebody said to me this week, they said that somebody told them that they really appreciated Betty being there because they really sensed a calmness. And I guess that's the Spirit of God that's inside of you.
It has to be.
Amen?
Amen.
It's real. The Spirit is real. And people... This isn't somebody, I mean, somebody, it wasn't somebody from our church that said it. It was somebody who wasn't from our church said it to somebody else who was from our church, or we wouldn't hear it. But God wanted you to know that. Your spirit's showing. Not your sleep, your spirit. Praise the Lord, amen?
Yeah.
Now look, he's not just doing it for Betty. I mean, praise God. We know there's a witness there in Bill and Betty, amen? There's a witness in you too.
Yes.
There's a witness in each one of us.
That's right.
And God wants to increase it more and more. Amen?
Amen.
And I know Betty didn't realize that she emanates that. I hope she doesn't get to realize that she emanates that. I'll let you touch me for a quarter. Okay, so. But you don't know that. It's the Spirit of God that's in you. And so, we want to just ask God because he wants to do that. Amen? Praise God. Ah. Praise God. That's, we can all rejoice in that. Amen?
Yes.
Don't envy. Rejoice in it. All right, let's praise the Lord, whatever you got there. Oh, Lord.
Jesus,
you are all I need. Oh, you purchased my soul.
my salvation, and wipe away my tears. Now I drink your living water, and I'll never thirst again.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
For you alone are worthy.
Yes, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we specifically ask you that you would use each one of us to minister to someone this week. And Father, we're counting on you to give us the words, what to say, how to say it. And Lord, we're counting on you and looking to you, God, to do it. We realize that without you, we can do nothing, affect nothing, or cause anything. But we believe that you can, and we're trusting in you to do it, God. And God, we lift up our nation to you, God, the nation that was dedicated to Jesus Christ, and we proclaim into the air that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we proclaim into the air that this nation is a Christian. It's a godly nation. It's a nation that's been dedicated to Jesus Christ. And we ask, God, that you would breathe on this nation by your Spirit and cause a revival to grow up from the grassroots up, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. We believe you're able to do it. We believe you do not take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, but that they would repent. And we ask you to forgive, have mercy, God. We deserve punishment. We deserve destruction. But God, we're asking for mercy. We're asking you, Lord, to breathe on this nation and send revival, God. Pray this, and we ask it together in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So
be it.
So be it. Amen. Praise the Lord.